Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Awakening God, stir our imagination by the power of your Holy Spirit, that in receiving your word, we might humbly work toward the new world of mercy and justice you are creating in our midst. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king answered them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'll invite the grown-ups to be seated, and if there are any children here in the sanctuary who want to come and join me up here, please come on down. And if you're worshiping from home or you're out of town on spring break, just move a little closer to your screens and we'll have a minute together. Come on down. So glad to see everybody. We had to wake up an hour early this morning, didn't we? Ooh, come and have a seat. Glad to see you. You can go ahead and have a seat or sit up here if you'd like. Wherever you want to sit. You want to sit right here? Okay, sit next to sister. Absolutely. He's not your brother. Oh, sit next to your friend. Oh, that's your brother. He's too little to come up, I guess. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see you. You know, I have two children, and they are 19 and 22. But when they were about your age, somewhere around 2, 3, 4, 5, we used to take them to go and visit my husband's grandmother. We called her Gran. And she was in her 90s. And it would make her so happy when we would come to visit, and especially happy if we brought our two children with us. They weren't, you know, they didn't know what to do except just to smile at her and give her hugs, and they would show her their toys. But just seeing them, just the fact that they came to visit her, made her so happy and made her feel so special. And I was thinking about this story that Jesus told where he talks about how important it is to visit people when they're sick and just to love people and show up for them when they need something. And that's something that all of us can do. You can be teeny tiny or you can be 90 years old, and there are always ways that you can help people. So thank you for the ways that you make me happy and make all of us happy just by being who you are. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you give us ways every day that we can be kind and we can do things to help other people and make them smile. We thank you for all the people who help us and make us smile too. Thank you especially for these wonderful children and the ways that they bring joy to everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds get to go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Molly. That is beautiful. It is a present. Are you 6? Well, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. That would be perfect. Seems like only yesterday that my children were 3, 4, and 5 years old. It's a little longer ago that I was a senior in high school. But when I was a senior in high school, I had some amazing teachers. One of them was at the 8:45 service, Heath Jones. Now, I know many of you know Dr. Heath Jones. He teaches Sunday school. A lot of our adult Sunday school classes will schedule Heath Jones to come, and I think he is 2 years out scheduled. So if you want him for 2027, you can go ahead and ask him now. Incredible teacher. When I had him, he taught me physics. I had no idea he had a PhD in Old Testament back then. But he had a way of making the complicated concepts of physics easy for a 17-year-old brain to follow, and his word problems on his tests were hilarious. So if you know Heath, you understand. He was a fabulous teacher. Another of my favorite teachers in my whole life was my senior English teacher in high school. And my memories are a little cloudy. It's been a few years, but I have this memory of our last day of class, my senior year. We had a particularly good and engaging group of people in that fifth period English class. And I like to think he loved us. But he was telling us in that last day, as we were heading off to graduate, some of us were going to college. One of my friends was going to join the Navy. We were taking our different paths. But he said, "Now listen, life is not about the grades. You are not reduced to an A or a B or a C or to any number at all. As you go forward, whatever your path is, don't worry about the grades. Don't worry about being evaluated. Do what you love and always keep learning. Stay curious. Keep reading. Always keep your mind open and ready to be changed. You'll be learning your whole lives. And the sooner you learn to love learning, the happier you'll be." And that lesson has really stayed with me. And it's made me think about, if I were a teacher, or for those of you who are teachers, if you have a group of students or you're a coach and you have a group of players who are coming through and they're getting ready to move on, what is the last lesson you would want to give them? The last words you want to leave with them? Of all the things I've taught you, this is the takeaway. Well, in some ways, when we get to the 25th chapter of Matthew, we are in the classroom with Jesus' disciples on our last day of school. Of course, the disciples didn't know it was their last time to sit at Jesus' feet, but Jesus knew. In fact, as the next chapter opens, the very next words that Matthew says are, "After Jesus had said all of these things, he reminded his disciples that he was going to be betrayed into the hands of the religious leaders and be crucified." And immediately those events begin to unfold. So this is it. This is his last lesson with his disciples. Now, each gospel writer tells the story in different ways. If we look at his last words in John's gospel, they're different. He washes their feet and so forth. But this morning we're in Matthew, and we're in that classroom. So let's lean in and listen to what Jesus says as his final lesson. Of course, it's Jesus, so it's a parable. Now, some would say it's not quite a parable. It's more of a dramatic apocalypse or an apocalyptic drama, however you want to put it. But it's a story to illustrate what is the crux of the matter. What is the most important thing? He's taught them all of this time, beginning with the Sermon on the Mount. And as he gets into chapters 23 and 24, he begins to hone in on the fact that he's getting ready to leave them, that there will be a time when he is not walking amongst them on earth. And so what do they need to know? What do they need to be doing? How do they live the way of Christ while he's not walking with them? And so we get the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Keep some who keep the lamp lit, waiting for the bridegroom to return. Or the story of the talents, if you know that parable, where the boss goes away and leaves three of his employees with money to invest. And the story is about how they invest and live into what he has taught them to do. But now we come to this story where the Son of Man has returned. And he brings before him all the nations, all the peoples of the earth. And what is most important in that moment? Did you feed the hungry? Did you visit the sick? Did you clothe the naked? Did you go and visit those who were in prison? In other words, did you show mercy to your fellow human beings? It's like the prophet Micah, who boils it all down to what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? What do all the teachings of Jesus lead us to? A life of mercy and kindness to our fellow human beings. Now, those of you who worship regularly here are probably very tired of hearing me say this. But it's true. Every week, with every text we have in front of us on Sunday mornings, there is so much in there to dig into and to listen into and hear from. And I have just a few minutes to highlight some things that spoke to me this week, but I would encourage you to go back to this story and read it over and over again for yourselves and see what you hear in it. But what really sprang to the surface for me this week as I pondered this parable is the fact that both the sheep and the goats, I guess from your perspective, the sheep and the goats were surprised for the same reason. We didn't know it was you. When were you hungry and we gave you something to eat? When were you naked and we clothed you? When were you in prison and we visited you? Or when were you hungry and we didn't feed you? When did we not come to visit you? They didn't know. Either side didn't know that how they were treating their fellow human beings was the same thing as how they would treat Christ himself. But Jesus makes it very clear in this parable. The shocking moment to me was when Jesus said, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was in prison and you visited me." Now, over the years, I have pondered this parable, and I've heard sermons and Sunday school lessons and thought about it myself. And sometimes we get to that little proverb, if someone is asking help from you, you should help them, because it might be Jesus in disguise. But I hear something different from Jesus in this parable, and maybe I'm wrong, but what I hear Jesus saying is, if you see someone in need, that is Christ. And there is no disguise. Jesus is saying, when you see the poor, when you see the inmates, when you see the immigrant, the stranger in the land, you are seeing me. There is no disguise. And we have seen throughout the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments a God who is revealed in the vulnerable and the weak and the sick and the lost, a God who takes the side of the oppressed and the underdog. And we will see in a couple of weeks a God who is perfectly revealed to us on a cross, bleeding and dying and in pain. That is the Christ we follow. There's no disguise about it. And it's not just true for those we encounter. It's true within us as well. I believe if we really want to grow closer to Christ who is in us, we need to move closer to those places within us that are broken, that are wounded, that are needy. Those things we want to hide from other people, even where our shame is, that is where Christ will be most powerfully revealed in us. Another way that this text has often been taught and preached is to encourage us to go out into the world and see Christ in the face of everyone we meet. And I believe that. That is absolutely a part of the instruction that I hear coming from Jesus in this story. Look for Christ in all people because he is in all people. But I sometimes wonder if we get that backwards. It's hard to just go out into the world and grit my teeth and try to see Christ in other people, especially people who get on my nerves or people who are not treating me well. It's hard to do that. But what if we were to reverse the order of things and move toward those who are suffering, move toward the brokenness, move toward the need, and then discover, lo and behold, that we have discovered Christ? John Wesley put it this way. Bringing up John Wesley again, and I want to get the quote right, so I typed it out. This is from his sermon number 98, where he's doing a deep dive. He has several sermons where he does a deep dive into Matthew 25, these verses that we've heard. This sermon is just on visiting the sick, and that's the creative title of it, On Visiting the Sick. But you know what you're getting. And John Wesley, if you read his sermons, does not mince words. And here's what he says. One great reason why the rich, that's me, why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor, well, let me pause right there. He's talking about not just rich in money or rich in wealth, but those of us who are comfortable, who are not sick, who are not hungry, who are not imprisoned. And it's not bad to be in that state of things. What a wonderful world we would live in if all people were in a state of richness and flourishing. So it's not to put guilt on us. But there is a danger, and that's what he's pointing to. One great reason why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor is because they so seldom visit them. Hence it is that one part of the world does not know what the other suffers. That's because we don't draw near to one another. We're not in proximity to one another. It's so easy to live our lives in a bubble and not see the suffering and the pain of others. Or to live in a bubble internally so we don't name or recognize the brokenness within ourselves. So John Wesley's invitation and Jesus' invitation in this story is to draw near to the need in the world. And maybe in doing so, we will meet Christ. In fact, not just maybe, but certainly. When I was in divinity school in the summer after my second year, I served as a chaplain at Grady Hospital in Atlanta. Any of you familiar with Grady? It is the trauma hospital in Atlanta, and there are four levels of the emergency room: red for things like gunshot wounds, all the way down to yellow, green, and blue. And it's a busy place, lots of trauma, lots of tragedy. And part of my duties was to make rounds in the hospital, just to visit people. I was visiting the sick because it was part of my job. And there was a young man that I visited for a couple of weeks. I didn't know why he was in the hospital. We were told not to ask, but the person could tell us if they chose. And after 3 or 4 days of regular visits with him, he finally told me more of his story. He was just a little younger than I was, had dropped out of high school so he could go to work and start earning some money. His mom worked 2 jobs. He had younger siblings. He wanted them to go to college and do well. And he realized that he could make more money if he participated in just a couple of drug deals a week than he could make if he worked for 2 weeks or a month at McDonald's. And so he said, you know, I don't do drugs myself, but I decided to give it a try, and I got caught in a bad scene, and I got shot. He was going to survive, and he was going to leave the hospital, and I don't know what his story was going to be after that. But in spending time with him, in making space to hear his story and to share some of my own, we met Christ in our midst. There was grace in that encounter. And suddenly he was no longer a statistic or a newspaper headline. He was my brother in Christ. And we shared our mutual vulnerabilities with each other. And so that one experience with that one person has changed my perspective on a lot of things in the world that I wouldn't have known if I hadn't just gone to visit someone who was sick. And so, my friends, the invitation is a simple one. Ordinary acts of mercy that are accessible to all of us every day, accessible to a 3-year-old and a 93-year-old, and somehow trusting and believing that what Jesus says is true, that when we move toward one another in vulnerability, we will see the face of God.